Tonight, I want to do somewhat of a follow-up when I talked last, I guess, Sunday, to talk about essential things that are important, essential ingredients to walk powerfully for God.
Yes.
So, yeah, I want to follow up on that because last time I shared the word, we went to Hebrews chapter 10 and 11. Of course, in chapter 11, we have all these wonderful examples of people that have believed God. And that is so, so important when it comes to walking with God, having power in your life, seeing God work. You got to believe Him. You got to believe Him. Let's do a quick review here. Go to Hebrews, if you would. And we're going to look at verse 1 of chapter 11 first. Just as a quick review. This is a verse that's quoted many times when it comes to believing. Now faith, verse 1, chapter 11 of Hebrews says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, we can go to God, as He encouraged us to do so, and have great expectations with Him to see Him work mightily. We don't know it. We don't see it now, but we hope for it. We know that God can work. We know His promises, and they will come to pass. So your believing is the evidence of things not seen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then verse 6 says, without faith or believing, it is impossible to please Him.
Mm-hmm.
So believing is so essential in our walk with the Heavenly Father. And obviously, you have exercised believing in your life. You're born again of God's Spirit. You had to believe to get born again, right?
Because
mm-hmm. you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believed in your heart, believed in your what? Heart, that God raised Him from the dead. So that's a wonderful reality.
I wonder if you're...
Okay, so... But we also looked at some key points in chapter 10, and let's take a quick look at that. Verse 30, let's see, 10:35 in Hebrews, and this leads us into chapter 11, where it gives us this definition of believing faith. And, of course, there's a whole list of believers in chapter 11 that are wonderful examples of believing God and seeing Him work. But here, this verse 35, it says, cast not away, therefore, your what? Confidence, which has great recompense for reward. So, this confidence is so important. It's part of believing. If you believe, you're going to have confidence, right? You're not going to be doubting or worrying, but you're going to have confidence. And so you need to have this confidence wherewith, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. Another key here. There's three keys that I'm going to remind you of that I shared last time. And one is this confidence, which in the Greek means to speak boldly, and also to have this patience or endurance until you receive the promise. And then verse 37 talks about in a little while, and He shall come, that shall come, will come, and will not tarry. This is the hope. And it's pretty neat to see the hope is woven into these wonderful believers, all-star believers, as many people call them in chapter 11, that they had the hope of Christ coming the first time, because these are Old Testament folks, and we have the hope of him coming the second time.
Amen.
And it's just with that knowledge and recognition, it really, I think, solidifies our lifestyle to the point that we can have confidence. We can speak boldly God's word and see it come to pass. We can have the endurance to wait on God and see him work mightily. Okay? Now, this thing believing, there's other areas, obviously, in the Word of God that talks about believing. And I want you to go to Timothy, and we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and look at some other scriptures that talk about believing. Because this believing is so important. And what I've titled this sharing is Take Believing Action. Take Believing Action. So in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, there is a verse here, verse 12. We're going to start there. It says, fight the good fight of what?
Faith,
believing. So I guess this is a fight, can be a fight. Believing can be a fight, huh?
Uh-huh.
Fight the good fight of believing. Take hold of what? Eternal life. There's that hope again that we have in Christ coming back. Take hold of eternal life, to which you are called or were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, I just read the ESV version for you at that time. So, yeah, Timothy kind of took over from Paul, right? Paul was passing on the mantle, so to speak, the responsibility of the church to Timothy. So he was teaching Timothy some godly things, and of course, he was encouraging him here in this chapter 6 to fight the good fight of faith, of believing. It's interesting to note that the word fight is actually an athletic term. In the Greek, it means a competitor in the contest, one who exerts oneself and strives earnestly. And Thayer, who's probably the most well-known Greek scholar with his definitions of Greek into English, he says it's to enter a contest or contend in the gymnastic games. It's a word that's used in 1 Corinthians 9:25, where it says every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. We do it in perishable things. This is the ESV again. So I think we're familiar with athletes, how hard they train, how disciplined they have to be for them to be successful in their particular sport. And this is what this word is really means, that you exercise, you really put that concerted effort to be your very best. So that's what this means, this fight, the good fight, is put your head into it, put your effort into it, control your mind. Put your effort, exert yourself earnestly to believe God. Don't be flippant. Don't be hesitant. But be confident. Be bold. So that's what that word means in Timothy. And there's some other things in here that we can learn that will really help build us up to take believing action. And let's stay here in Timothy, chapter 6, and let's go to verse 6, okay? And there's a number of points here that I want to make in light of believing, to help us believe more and bigger. So verse 6 says, and I'm going back to the King James here, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay, godliness with contentment. Are you content with your godly situation? I'm sure thankful for the eternal life I have. I've got Holy Spirit within. I got the hope of Christ's return. I'm pretty content with that. You know, we live in a world that people are stressed out because they don't know what's coming the next day. They don't know what's coming in the future. They don't even know what's coming tomorrow many times. But we can have great confidence. And with a godly thinking, we can be content. And that's a great key in believing God. Why? Verse 7, for we brought nothing into the world. And when you were born from your mother's womb, did you have some money in your hands?
Oh, boy.
Did you have any of your car or boat or anything like that, airplane? You had nothing. Nothing. So we have brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. So when Christ comes back and gathers us together, can you take, you know, your favorite jacket or your coat or your baseball glove? I mean, your pickleball paddle. I mean, no. No. So, you know, when we look at the spiritual view of things, it's pretty simple, pretty basic, right? All right, verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therefore what?
Content.
You know, if we're blessed, we have food, we have clothes to put on, we're, you know, we have a godly life, we're content with that. You can't beat it. You know, what are you going to do with a bunch of gold or a lot of money and stuff? It just gets in the way. Just gets in the way. Well, I didn't write the book. Verse 9. And they that will be rich fall into temptation. We were talking about falling earlier. We fall into temptation, in a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. This world is all about money. Oh my gosh, it's crazy, right? I mean, when it gets down to it, it's all about money. That's what motivates people in the world today. Hopefully it doesn't motivate us. We're motivated by the love of God, right? We're content. We've got eternal life. Well, what does it say, verse 10? For the love of money is the root of some evil.
No.
All evil.
Okay.
I didn't write the book. There it is. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, from believing, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, God promises us that we would have abundance, okay? There's nothing wrong with being abundant, being rich with things that meet your needs. But you don't need four cars. You know, you don't need all the things that man so desires to have. And all it does is bog us down. Well, verse 11. But thou, O man of God. Now, this is to Timothy. This is written to Timothy. We're learning from this. We're learning from this. So, he's saying, but thee, thou, O man of God, flee these things. And follow after what?
Righteousness.
Godliness. Faith. Believing. Love. Patience, meekness. These are the qualities that really we want to hone in our lives. This is what we want to have in our being, okay? Now, verse 12 is that verse we read earlier, fight the good fight of believing. You know, let's discipline our minds. Let's be our best to believe God. We lay hold on eternal life. We recognize that we have eternal life, that God has secured for us a future that is so phenomenal. Wherefore, or whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, Timothy was a wonderful man of God, and he will see he's made some confessions. This word profession is the same word as confession, okay? And so he's made some good confessions here. We're going to see here real quick. Verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, or makes alive all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Wow. He witnessed a good confession. And I was thinking about, well, what did Jesus Christ do before Pontius Pilate? So let's take a look at that. We're going to jump to John. Hold your finger here. And let's take a look how Jesus Christ handled himself before old Pontius Pilate. Mm-hmm. So 18, John 18, 33. So Jesus Christ has come before Pilate. He's been judged by the Sanhedrin. They want to kill him. They want to crucify him. They want Pontius Pilate to do all the dirty work. So here in verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? did you come up with this, or did somebody else tell you about this? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of what?
This world.
He's not of this world. Is your ultimate life of this world?
No.
Not really. I mean, we're living in this world. Okay. We want to believe God. God's provided for us as we do live in this world. But we've got a bigger world to look forward to.
Amen.
Yes. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. So it's going to be in the future. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. He's talking the truth. That's what he's all about. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Boy, is he taking a stand here. I mean, you know, if your life was on the line and you knew you were going to be crucified and go through the most torturous death, you might be kind of having a different tune here, but not Jesus Christ. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto him, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Their response? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barsabbas. So they wanted this other guy, and they wanted Jesus to be crucified. So Jesus He confessed a good confession, didn't he, before Pilate? What a great example here that Paul, by revelation from God, writing the word to Timothy, reminding him how Jesus Christ handled things. All right, verse 14. I'm back at 1 Timothy 6, thank you. Yep, 1 Timothy 6, 14. That thou keepest this commandment without spot, rebuke, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on here, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of the kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Mm-hmm. He goes on to say, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. There's the promise of God. You know, God wants us to enjoy richly all things. That they do good. That they be rich in what? Good works. Ready to distribute. Ready to give. Willing to communicate. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation again against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You know, we look, what can we do to be blessed in light of eternal life? And he goes on to say, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. You know, Timothy was, again, handed over a great responsibility to lead the church. And so these are things we're seeing that Timothy is learning, and we can learn, too, to help us fight the good fight of faith and believing. Well, let's finish this up. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith or the right way of believing. Grace be with you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? So, some wonderful keys in here in light of helping us to believe and have believing action in our life. Being content with what we have, right? Knowing that if we just have our basics, we should be so, so blessed and content with us. And that we recognize that that the love of money is the root of all evil, so we're not into it. We don't have to be. It takes away from our right way of believing. And what we want to do is pursue justness, godliness, believing, love, patience, meekness. We want to maintain that good profession that we confess of who we are in Christ. Like Jesus Christ, his good confession before Pontius Pilate. And we want to remember what God has committed to us. Mm-hmm. He's committed us his gift of Holy Spirit. We're his kid. We're his child. We're born again of his Spirit. And we have that privilege to live in his grace, right? Mm-hmm. Grace be with you all. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay.